In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daisy is an elderly woman from Syria who occasionally visits our church in Detroit. Though a devout Roman Catholic, she likes to come for the Bible study and fellowship. Trying to get to know her better, I asked her how she came to be a Christian. She looked at me with a startled expression and said, "Pastor, I'm from Damascus. We converted St. Paul." And I was humbled. It's good for Americans to be humbled. It's good for Christians to be humbled, and it is especially good for pastors to be humbled. Seminarians don't need to worry about that. You have Greek, Hebrew, and your seminary professors to keep you regularly in that condition. Now, you might be thinking that Daisy was a bit proud, but I can assure you that there was no pride there, rather a simple confession of faith, a faith that has persevered for 2 millennia in Syria in the New Testament church and many years before that in the Old Testament church. Besides, she was right, for it was through the hands of Ananias of Damascus that St. Paul received his sight. St. Luke records for us, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized." Some things done by humans are good, right, and salutary. Ananias laying hands on Saul, Christians helping and befriending their neighbors, pastors preaching the word of God and administering the sacraments. But some things done by humans are not good, right, or salutary. The men from Judea preaching a false gospel. Pastors spending their time doing administrative tasks and neglecting their pastoral responsibilities. The Galatians listening to a false gospel. This is exactly why St. Paul is asserting his authority as a called apostle. Some men were speaking falsely, and the people, the faithful in Galatia, were listening to them. The speaking and the listening being done by people were not good or right or salutary. So St. Paul writes to the Galatians to warn them, not about what they are saying, but about what they are listening to. The Galatians were listening to some very sincere Jewish Christians from Judea who were teaching that the Gentile members must submit to circumcision and other aspects of the ceremonial law. These Jewish Christians or Judaizers were preaching that the gospel alone was not sufficient, that people must also observe parts of the old Jewish law. The Galatians were slowly being turned away from the truth, from the pure gospel that Jesus Christ's suffering and death atoned for the sins of all mankind. They were forgetting that it is by God's grace alone that we are forgiven, not by any observance of ceremonial law or good works. And St. Paul knows that this false gospel will only bring trouble to the faithful. How can it not? The pure gospel proclaims that our sins are forgiven by God's grace. This new false gospel teaches that grace is not enough. There's something else that must be done. And with this false gospel, doubt is introduced. When have I done enough? With this false gospel, people begin to rely upon the law rather than upon God's mercy. Notice that the Judaizers were not denying the gospel. They were just mixing some falsehood into it. But a mixture of truth and falsehood can only distort the truth. So St. Paul admonishes them, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Pay close attention to what St. Paul is writing. He uses the words in Greek heteros. Heteros means different in kind. He did not use allos, which means of another of the same kind. St. Paul is saying that the teachings the Galatians are listening to is not a harmless variation of the truth, but a completely different false gospel. Despite the postmodern view that permeates our contemporary society, there is no such thing as a harmless variation of the truth. These false gospels, these misleading teachings, are of man. Or perhaps better put, of men deceived by the evil one. They tickle people's ears, as St. Paul warned Timothy, but they do not bring salvation. The Galatians have been taught by an apostle of God, and yet they were being deceived by a mixture of truth and falsehood. So St. Paul strongly admonishes the Galatians. Indeed, he humbles them. Continually, the apostles and the church have condemned and set apart teachings and teachers that pervert the gospel of Christ. Teachings that add some good work, whether it be a Jewish ritual like circumcision, or Reformed teaching that denies the real presence of Jesus Christ, or the latest evangelical call to moral living, which denies the victory won for us by Jesus Christ. And yet these false gospels continually assert themselves. And they do so precisely because they please men. These false gospels take away our need to trust in God completely and substitute some human participation. And that pleases only man. Too often, we, like the Galatians, listen to false gospels. Too often, we, unlike St. Paul, speak as those who seek to please men and not God. Note that St. Paul does not engage the Galatians in dialogue. He does not try to spare their feelings or win them over with his dazzling knowledge of the law. He does not play upon his connections with Peter and the other apostles, and he certainly does not excuse them by bestowing upon them victim status. Oh, it wasn't your fault. It was the fault of those men who led you astray. Not this apostle. Not this bondservant of Christ. He states what these people were doing, and he declares it to be wrong. With full apostolic authority, he humbles them. He humbles them not to lift himself up, but to lift up Jesus Christ. He humbles them not to break their spirit, but to turn them away from their sin and towards Jesus Christ. He humbles them not to keep them in their place, just lowly parishioners who don't have enough knowledge or faith to judge correct teachings, but to free them. Today we are surrounded by people who are listening to false messages, messages that oppress them with burdens and offer only the hope of man, which is to offer no hope at all. This is no time or place to be timid, soft-spoken, and concerned with building self-esteem. This is the time to be trained to stand in the apostolic tradition of St. Paul and dare to humble people, and dare to be humbled ourselves. For we do not live in fear. We live free to be the people we were meant to be. When you enter the divine service, you are bold to kneel and humble yourself before God because you know, you believe, you trust that God will not strike you dead as you deserve for what you have done or not done, but because he will forgive your sins for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he will invite you into his presence to feed you with his very word and body and blood of the Lamb of God who suffered and died for the forgiveness of your sins. And he will do this not because you are advanced in your seminary or Bible studies, but because it pleases him to do so. Jesus spoke this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." It is imperative that we make known the gospel that comes through the revelation of Jesus Christ, the true gospel taught by the apostles and those who stand in that tradition. It is imperative that we listen to the pure proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very Word of God. For you either listen to the gospel or you don't. There's no pleasing God and man. Only those who are penitent, humbled, receive the forgiveness of Christ won by his passion, death, and resurrection. So live the humble life in the church. Live kneeling before God, confessing your sins. Live in the forgiveness proclaimed to you by the one who speaks the word of forgiveness from Christ himself. Live in the word and the very body and blood of the living Son of God. And then go forth with the blessing of the Lord. Go with the knowledge that you will be humbled by the daisies of the world. Go with the knowledge of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Go so that others may listen to that revelation and turn away from false teachings that abound in our world and receive the saving gospel, and that they may come with you into the presence of the Lord. Come to kneel before God and confess their sins. Come to receive God's promise of forgiveness. Come to receive his holy word and blessed sacraments. Come to join with all the company of his church in glorifying God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.